Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
Well, it seems that every year there's new trends that come up. Not fads, but trends, things that you know are going to kind of stick around. And what are the new nutrition trends that we can expect to see in the year 2014? My guest is author, health educator, and registered dietitian Rachel Berman. Welcome to the show, Rachel. So, the new year, nutrition trends, things that are going to stick around. What are you thinking is the new, most important nutrition change that we might see?
You know, every year there's new trends that come about, right? And people just try to get on the bandwagon for January. But one of the most promising things that's a change, I think, for the better, can last, longer than just 1 month, is incorporating more of these ancient grains into your diet. You've seen them in 2013. Quinoa was a really big one. And I think that more are going to hit mainstream, like freke, amaranth. These are grains that I people can incorporate in every meal.
So ancient grains kind of moving their way up this list. And I know that even our local Whole Foods has started using a bunch of these in the breads that they make. So that we're even seeing these grain breads with things that, you know, maybe you hadn't even heard of. So what else? We've got ancient grains. There's so many superfoods, Rachel, that come and, you know, that people are like, okay, this is the best. Avocado, this and this. So what superfoods are we seeing besides these ancient grains?
Yeah, so when we say super, usually that's a marketing technique. Like pomegranate seeds were a big one in the past, and same with things that are more sustainable, like chia and flaxseed. Hemp seeds are coming around more and more. You'll see them because they have a higher percentage of protein than the aforementioned seeds. So they're usually in these protein shakes that, you know, you might have after a workout at your gym. And they do have positive nutrition benefits. You will get omega-3s, but they are a lot more pricey. So something to keep in mind when you see, you know, something labeled as a superfood, you might be able to get the same nutrition for less money.
Now, what about eating sustainable and locally? A lot of restaurants these days are really advertising that they are very sustainable and that the produce that they're using and everything is locally farmed. So what about this? Is this kind of a trend we're going to see?
Absolutely. Like you said, it started, and, you know, I think people are becoming more and more aware of how when food is grown locally, it doesn't need to travel as far. It doesn't need to be thrown on to trucks or handled by people or go through storage. Because of those reasons, it can reduce your carbon footprint. Usually nutrients are better sustained in the food because it's not traveling as far and losing those nutrients during the traveling process. And eating locally helps, you know, your local economy. So it's not only eco-friendly, but it's financially, friendly as well.
And what about transparency? Labels seem to be all over the media these days. Labels for, you know, GMOs and labels for this. People want to be able to read. And while they say the best nutrition is something that comes without a label, if there are labels on there, are they becoming more transparent? Are they showing us what is in the food, really?
They're really trying. You know, I think that a lot of specific nutrients, like you mentioned, if something has GMOs, I mean, people want to know what's in their food. So there's been lots of effort to make, labeling of these certain aspects of food into law. For example, alcohol is, you know, you might see more nutrient labels on alcohol bottle. It's something that's going to be voluntarily decided by the company. But, as a result, you might see healthier food products on the market because of this kind of transparency.
Okay, so even I heard that alcohol might get labels.
Right.
So what are we seeing there? I mean, are they going to have to start saying what goes into a bottle of gin now?
It's not necessarily mandatory, but, you know, we've been seeing more and more of these, you know, healthier versions of cocktails or cocktail mixes hit the marketplace, and I just think that's going to expand And alcohol, you know, producers are going to capitalize on that and, you know, want the label that says, oh, their, you know, alcohol mix has 20% of your vitamin C needs. That's why you should, you know, that's not a reason necessarily to drink it, but it's definitely, you know, helping with marketing for sure.
Okay, so some of these kinds of trends are going to head towards marketing, and the media picks up on them, and then they become kind of a really big thing. And so along with the nutrition trends and the superfoods that we've been discussing and eating locally and sustainable and the transparency in labeling, what are we seeing that goes along with that, maybe fitness trends, that sort of thing?
Right. So, yeah, I mean, and you'd be able to speak to this, Melanie, because, you know, you're an exercise physiologist. You might know better than I. I think that what we've seen over the past year, a lot of research being done on this interval training. Basically the idea is that you exercise at a high intensity for a period of time, and then you alternate that with lower intensity exercises. And research shows that that might actually help reduce your fat more so than regular exercise. There's a lot of theories as to why that might be, but I think that more variations on this kind of exercise are going to continue to 2014 for sure.
Well, I agree with you, and the American College of Sports Medicine put out their new list for 2014, and as you say, Rachel, high-intensity interval training, or HIIT, really made the top of the list for the first time. It moved right up to the top of the list following body weight training and strength training. So, yeah, those kinds of things you sort of expect to see, but that was a bit of a new one. What other nutritional things are we looking to see? Are we seeing more juicing? Are we seeing more cleansing? Are we seeing more, you know, people mixing different things to get their weight down? What are we seeing?
Yeah, I definitely, you know, juicing is something that, you know, I have mixed feelings about juicing. I think that it's a great way to get your fruits and vegetables in if you're not able to eat as much or you really hate fruits and vegetables, but it can be an alternative to a meal, to a satisfying meal that's going to give you all the nutrients that you need. So I think that there's a time and a place for some of these trends, but sometimes, you know, they're just fads that go in and out.
What about gluten-free, Rachel? I am seeing that everywhere. My clients, my patients ask me about it all the time. I have mixed feelings about it as well. So what about gluten-free?
Gluten-free does not equal healthier. Gluten-free is, you know, for people with celiac disease who have an allergy to the protein in grains and wheat, rye, oats, called gluten. So don't follow this unless you go to your doctor and they say you have an allergy to gluten foods, because a lot of the nutrient-dense foods that we were talking about, like before, ancient grains, a lot of those do have gluten. And so it doesn't necessarily equate to a healthier diet unless, of course, you have a true allergy.
I've noticed also more Middle Eastern cuisine coming into vogue. You know, people are looking towards Indian and Middle Eastern because of the herbs, the spices, the nuts involved, you know, the turmeric and curcumin, all these things that are in there, you know. So in the last minute, Rachel, give us your very best advice for the nutrition trends for 2014 and what you think is really going to hit the thing and top the list.
You know, as you mentioned, I think spices are definitely huge. And, you know, getting a variety of foods is really important. So a lot of these trends focus on the variety that you can incorporate, the variety of nutrients that you can get in your diet from a variety of grains, from a variety of fruits and vegetables when you're juicing. So I really hope that that's something that sticks with consumers, that they focus on getting well-balanced meals with all the nutrients they need.
Great advice. Thank you so much, Rachel Berman. And in this year, try new foods. Go to your local produce and try a new one every week. Look online for recipes. This is the way you're going to get in on some of these trends and maybe even create a few of your own. You're listening to Radio MD. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.